I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody listening all over North America. I hope you've had a tremendous day. Okay, I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. I get started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Okay, the NFL trade deadline, it came, it went. New York Jets got a lot of first-round picks. The Colts get Sauce Gardner. Quinnen Williams is now a member of the Cowboys. Jacoby Myers, he's now going to be on the receiving end of passes from Trevor Lawrence. Down in Jacksonville, Rashid Shaheed, he goes from New Orleans to Seattle. He'll be playing opposite Jackson Smith and Jigba. To talk about all the trades that took place and did not take place, we're going to be joined by Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. He's going to be here with us in about 20 minutes. I know one trade that did not take place. Trey Hendrickson is still a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that's a mistake. And speaking of mistakes with the Bengals, their coach thinks one of their players just made a massive mistake. We'll get into that momentarily. The Cardinals, the current regime did not select Kyler Murray, but has Kyler Murray been a mistake for the Arizona Cardinals? It looks like Jacoby Brissett is going to go out there and start another game. We got the college football playoff rankings. The first edition is going to be coming our way in about an hour from now. We got Jerry Palm, who's going to join us to talk about the college football playoff and what it should ultimately look like. And so we have so much more to do. You can always listen to the show on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM. It's channel 375. You got a smart speaker. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. If you want to call, you can do that too. You ready? Here's the number. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Last hour, we talked about the trade deadline. We got into the Cowboys and took a look at the Jets. And, you know, we've reached a point of the season. I mean, Jacoby Myers pretty much already told you, I want a contract. If the Raiders aren't going to give me a contract, trade me. They did. Today they traded him. Like, we got a lot of athletes, too. Some guys who are never happy. We got a lot of athletes. It doesn't matter if you pay them a lot. They're going to be miserable. Like, there's always something to complain about. And typically when you're a professional athlete and you're at the top of the totem pole and you make a lot of money and you've had your backside kissed your whole life and people have told you how great you are, any sign of adversity, and in some cases, you know, we got guys who can just go out here and just, you know, lose their you-know-what. And so we know that the NFL trade deadline was today. The NBA trade deadline is not coming until February. Okay, listen, it's November. It's the beginning of November. And the NBA already has one superstar that every time you put a microphone in front of his face, he is basically making his case that he wants out. Yesterday, we talked about Ja Morant, how he was suspended over the weekend. He played a game on Friday and basically checked out, looked like a silent protest against Coach Isalo and his style of play. Ja Morant on Friday in a loss to the Lakers, he shot 3 of 14 from the field. He was 0 of 6 from 3. He had 8 points. And Thomas Isalo obviously told him, bro, what are you doing out here? You look ridiculous. You're not participating. He didn't play down the stretch of the game. And so on Friday, Ja Morant was sitting in front of his locker, and he basically killed the coaches. Listen to this back and forth with him in the media.
What went wrong to you today?
Go ask the coaches now.
Do you feel like, I mean, there was anything you could do differently, I guess?
You're asking them. They had a whole spiel in here, so.
From the outside, it did, and the outside may be wrong, but from the outside, it didn't look like you had your usual energy tonight.
Go ask the coaching staff why.
Okay. You feel like you should play more?
go ask the coaches, should I play more or not?
What had been done? What could have been done different to get a different outcome other than asking the coaching staff?
According to them, probably don't play me, honestly. That's what basically the message was after, so it's cool.
The coaching staff message was that?
It's cool.
We good?
You didn't have anything physically wrong in terms of illness or anything?
Oh, no,
you
were under the weather. I'm
fine. Okay.
I'm fine.
All right.
Wow. Listen, he got suspended for that. Conduct detrimental to the team. Basically throwing the coaching staff under the bus and, you know, not being a good teammate, not being a good player, being a pain in the ass. And so then he made his return after missing one game last night. The Grizzlies lost again to Detroit, 114-106. And John Morant, he played better. 18 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds in 35 minutes. He was 5 of 16 from the field. Yeah, there was a lot of shots that were clanking and missing all over the place. And I mean, when it comes to John Morant from downtown, in the season, on the season, he is 5 of 36 from 3. That's at about 13%. That is horrific. In any other case, they tell him, bro, stop shooting damn three-pointers. After the game yesterday, John Morant had an opportunity to sit right back down in front of the media after the game. And he basically said, yeah, I'm not having fun playing right now.
Were you and the coaching staff able to talk about what happened Friday and move on?
Y'all asked that question to them, huh?
What about for you?
Y'all asked that question, so y'all know the answer to that.
Do you feel like everything's been resolved?
Yeah. They told y'all that, right?
Well, yeah, but we didn't hear it from you.
Obviously, they can't go and tell y'all something I didn't say.
You feel like you get the same joy right now that we used to see from you?
No.
Why not?
What can be done to get it back?
We'll see.
Do you think you have a good relationship with the franchise?
Yeah.
In general?
Yeah. They told y'all that, right?
I didn't say anything about that.
If I had a good relationship, I wouldn't talk to him at all. So. And we had our combos over these.
Do you have any regrets about the way you played on Friday night in the second half?
You said what?
Do you have any regrets about the way you played in the game? I'm not talking about the
post-game. That's your home run question? Sound like a bait question.
He's going back and forth. Is that your home run question? It sounds like you're trying to bait me question. Wow. He doesn't have joy playing basketball. Here we are at what, Jimmy Butler part 2? At least Jimmy Butler was a little bit more accomplished than what we've seen from Ja Morant. At least Jimmy Butler, any of his issues have been kind of wearing out his welcome with teams. Ja Morant is just being a pain in the backside. And here's a difficult thing. Ja Morant is in the midst of a 5-year, $200 million contract that will keep him paid through 2028. The only thing that's going to stop John Morant from getting a paycheck is if he goes back to a strip club and decides to keep going outside and, I don't know, playing around with guns. Like, that's the only thing that is going to void his money and stop him from getting paid. And so I don't even know who would want to pick him up. Like the Grizzlies, if they were to move him, who, what, when, and where? We talked about the Indianapolis Colts giving up 2 first-round picks and players to bring on Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner, okay? This is not, I don't know, not Darryl Green in his prime, okay? This is not Deion Sanders. This is Sauce Gardner. He's been good. He hasn't been as good as when he started, and they gave up 2 firsts for him. I don't know if there's going to be a sucker in the NBA that will say, we will take Ja Morant and we'll fix him. Who? What? Where? I don't think it exists. I think we're just in for a long slog of a marriage that just doesn't work out. Damn it, I know some people know what the hell I'm saying. Sometimes you stick together for the kids, right? You try to stick things out for the betterment of the family, but at the end of the day, you just know ultimately, this is not going to work. This is not going to work out in Memphis. Ja Morant's time is up. And for as bad of a pain in the ass as he's been with all the guns and the fans in Memphis deserve better than this. Ja Morant has been a grade-A jerk. I feel bad for the fans in Memphis. Speaking of jerks, anyway, yesterday we told you about, well, we saw that destruction, or a terrible way to end a game. Bengals losing to the Bears 47-42. Caleb Williams throwing that touchdown to Colston Loveland to win the game. The Bengals scoring all them damn points at the end, and the defense couldn't make a tackle to hold on to the lead. And then we heard from Chase Brown, the running back, criticizing the defense, saying, we did all this damn work, and we couldn't get a stop. What is our defense doing? This is what he said at his locker after the game.
We just got to play complimentary football. Like, we put the ball in the end zone and go up a point at the end, finish the game. Like, just end it. Like, that's it. Like, that's what we need to do. Just end the game. Like, make them get us the ball back. Let us go to 22 victory and let's end the game. That's how I feel.
Wow. Yeah, not too often you hear anybody in a locker room criticizing anybody else in the locker room, let alone your teammates that you don't play on the field with. And so to have an offensive player criticize a defensive player, I mean, you basically open yourself up. The defensive guys can start criticizing you. Hey, man, why didn't you get a first down on that run? Hey, man, how come you couldn't break the plane and get into the end zone for a touchdown? Like, you don't want to get into that battle. You don't. And so today, the head coach, Zach Taylor, this man who is now coaching a Bengals team going nowhere, Zach Taylor just said, yeah, he was passionate, but what he said was wrong. Not supposed to say that.
You mentioned yesterday, Zach, how much you have to fight every day to maintain your culture, not let this become an offense-defense thing. Chase Brown unloaded some frustration yesterday publicly. Do you want players to have the freedom to vent, or do you have to talk to them?
Not if you're not doing everything you can on your own, you know, and I've pointed that out with Chase. You know, there's two big plays that we could have done better that would have led to points. And so I think I liked Jamar a little bit better. I can tell Jamar's frustrated, but he didn't want guys coming at him if he's had a poor performance or something that he was disappointed in. So I trust that that's a one-time thing, and we'll learn from that. That's not how we want to react. And one of our best players, one of our highest character players, I think in a moment of frustration, said that. And I don't expect that to happen.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, you can't go out here throwing stones if you live in a glass house. Like, nobody wants to be y'all a team. You win as a team, you lose as a team. There's going to be some days where the defense picks you up. There's going to be some days that you pick them up. You can't take a dump on the defense, man. Come on. Man, there's plenty going on with the Bengals and their offense. We could take a massive crap on them. What are we doing here? So, yeah, you got to be careful. And this is sports. People are going to get up in arms. They're going to be in their feelings about things. But two very different situations, what we got between Chase Brown basically killing his defense, and then you get Ja Morant, who's just basically killing his coaches. I mean, the next stop, at least for Ja Morant's case, if he starts going after his players, I don't know. Bacho, they can't even move him. He has no leverage yet.
Yeah, the team has no leverage. Ja Morant, I feel like anyone in the NBA has leverage in a certain way where they can just, you know, not play for the team and they can call themselves hurt when they're not really. I'm thinking about
He did that with Taylor Jenkins. He's already lost tons and tons of money due to his suspensions that have nothing to do with basketball. He's been injury prone. Yes, any player in the league, God bless him, he's going to get guaranteed money unless he decides to act like a complete ass again. What NBA team do you see looking at Ja Morant saying, we gots to have that guy?
I think the only one right now is the Brooklyn Nets. And it's just because the Nets, right now, it seems that their head coach doesn't like any of their rookies, and they just drafted five of them. So maybe, in a way, they could try to flip those guys to the Grizzlies and a couple other picks. But other than that, there's no franchise that wants the headache of Ja Morant.
Yeah, there's none. There's none. Yeah, you're 100% correct. The Brooklyn Nets aren't even a thought in my brain. What are they doing besides trying to sell tickets, okay? I mean, they got a guy in Cam Thomas who can score the basketball but doesn't know what a teammate is. And if you're the Brooklyn Nets, you're already an afterthought playing in New York with the Knicks. You got all these young players. It's not a thought in the world or anything. It would really only be a glamour move. Hey, we can bring in a Ja Morant and then potentially develop a guy or maybe attract someone else. And even in that case, would be a massive shot in the dark. Let me tell you this. If you are the Brooklyn Nets, well, let's forget the Brooklyn Nets. Does Ja Morant in New York City sound like a good idea? If this man can find a strip club in Denver, if he can hang out in Memphis and end up fighting some kid next door in a pickup basketball game, what happens when you put Ja Morant in New York City, if it takes place? It doesn't sound good. This is going to get uglier before he moves on. God knows when he's going to get moved, but he just seems like a disaster player. He does not seem like a championship player, and his attitude is not of a championship player. Ja Morant's attitude is of a loser. His bank account may not say that, but his attitude, terrible. Loser's mentality. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, no idea whether or not he'll be moved. We'll see. I know things will get ugly, though. Uglier than they already are. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about people who actually got traded today and some individuals who didn't. The NFL trade deadline was today at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. We talked about some of the trades made by the Cowboys, the Jets, the Colts, the Seahawks, and more. We're going to have a conversation with Matt Verderam from SI to talk about the trade deadline and get us all caught up to date. We'll do that on the other side. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. If I'm enlightening, you should give a listen to our guest. Okay, we know the NFL trade deadline is gone. It came and it went. We got some teams that didn't make any trades today, like the Chiefs and the Bills. And then we had some teams that did make trades that make you kind of go, what? Okay. What are the Colts doing? Trading two first-rounders for Sauce Gardner. You know what? To talk about all the moves that took place and didn't take place and what the Cowboys are doing, joining us right now is someone who covers all things NFL for SI. You can catch him on his own show, the Matt Verderam Show. Also covers all things Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back to the show, Matt Verderam. Matt, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for the time, as always. I guess to get to the chase, the Colts, two first-rounders for Sauce Gardner, is that the most surprising thing that you saw today?
Yes. Yes. I'm not surprised the Jets had a fire sale. It's one of the rare times the Jets have had a huge win in November. But I feel like that is what took place. I mean, honestly, it's a weird thing. Normally, you kind of, you know, you always do the whole winners and losers thing, right? Who won? I actually think the winners of the day were the Jets, which normally you'd say it's a team that bought. I actually think it was a team that sold more than anybody who you walk away. And there were other winners, don't get me wrong. But, you know, that was a shocking move. They just extended him this offseason. He's 25 years old. But he has not been, the last year and a half, he has not been the player he was the first couple of years of his career. Does not say he's not very good, but he was elite his rookie year, his second year. That's not really been true lately. Now, look, maybe he goes to Indianapolis, he's surrounded by a better supporting cast, maybe everything goes back to form and he's off. That is a lot to give up. A lot. I understand he's an all-pro level player when he's at his peak, and he's 25. And there is precedent. Like, the Rams got Ramsey years ago from the Jags and gave up two firsts. Obviously, he helped them win a Super Bowl. That is an all-in move by a Colts team that, record-wise, it's 7-2. But does anybody, like, I don't, not to denigrate them, but does anybody really think, like, they're the front runners to win the Super Bowl, even get to it? I commend them for taking a big swing. I just wonder if we all look back in a couple of years, if Daniel Jones does regress, and you go, man, would really like to have those first two rounds, or those two first round picks.
Well, Matt, do you think the Colts screwed this up? Did they shoot themselves in the foot in the short and long term?
In the short term, no. I mean, in the short term, look, I think they're going to make a real run at this thing. The division's not good. The conference is open. I mean, you still have teams like Kansas City and Buffalo, but Kansas City's 5-4. And there's a, you know, look, they play the Chiefs in a couple of weeks here. Like, they might very well, if they do see the Chiefs in the playoffs, they might see them in Indianapolis. They might see Buffalo in Indianapolis. Now, you know, look, those two teams might still be favored in some places over the Colts, even on the road. But no, I don't think short term. My concern with it is you're making this trade with the assumption that Daniel Jones is your guy moving forward and that he is going to play, if not at this clip, very close to it. Right now, Daniel Jones is leading the NFL in passing yards. They are 7-2. He's a big reason why. My concern is if he comes down to earth somewhat, not even back to what he was last year, but like, if he's a middle of the road, you know, a 13th best quarterback in football, then you're sitting there going, you'd really like to have those picks. So it's not really a bet on Sauce Gardner. It's a massive bet on Daniel Jones. And that is a very interesting spot to be in if you're Chris Ballard and the Colts.
NFL staff writer for SI Now, Matt Verderam, is joining us here on the JR Sport Brief Show. The Jets winners, the Colts making a big bet on Daniel Jones, and the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, we got about 48 hours of Jerry Jones teasing everybody about the moves. They bring on Quinnen Williams from the New York Jets. They bring on Logan Wilson, who's benched for the Cincinnati Bengals. And it just seems like the Dallas Cowboys are just going to be okay. Was it necessary for them to do this today?
I have no idea what the Cowboys are. Of any team in the league, to me, they're the biggest losers. And not because Quinnen Williams isn't a good player. Quinnen Williams is a terrific player. But what is the plan? What are they doing? You know, it's like the Saints, right? Like, I look at the Saints trading Rashid Shaheed to the Seahawks. And I think Shaheed, but I think the home run is, yeah. But they gave up decent picks. Like, they gave up fourth and fifth rounders. Like, okay, that's not bad value if you're New Orleans, a guy on a rental contract. You also, though, if you're the Saints, just gave up a mid-round pick for Devon Vele, who plays 30% of your offensive snap. Like, are you trying to look to the future? Are you trying to be good now? Then, like, also, why didn't you trade Kamara? Why didn't you trade Carl Granderson? Why didn't you trade Chris Olave? Like, it's just, I give the Jets, are just like, look, we're trading guys. Now, I think they should have gone even further. I think they should have traded Breece Hall. But at least they went out. They have a stockpile and a half now of picks and cap space. Dallas traded Micah Parsons for the year, and I think everybody collectively thought, okay, not a great trade, but you know the direction they're going in. They got two firsts. They're moving forward with this idea of kind of rebuilding around Dak, second act of his career. Well, you just gave up a first and a second for Quinnen Williams, who is terrific, but like probably has like a couple years left at his prime. And now you have all, you know, lesser value in the draft. So it's kind of like you traded Micah Parsons for Quinnen Williams. Like, in Kenny, like, it's very Jerry Jones-ish. There's no real through line. It almost feels like just moves for the sake of making moves.
No, Matt, we talked about some of the moves that have taken place today. Are there any moves that are you surprised that didn't take place? I see Trey Hendrickson is obviously going to play out his contract here with the Bengals. The Chiefs didn't make a move. The Bills didn't make a move. What are your thoughts on what did not take place?
I thought, in the AFC, I thought the Bills might make a move. You know, they just had the big win against Kansas City. And look, there's two ways of viewing that game. Like, on one hand, the Bills just feel awesome. They won the game, and a lot of people didn't think they were going to win that game, even with some injuries. On the other hand, Kansas City played, by their standards, a poor game. I mean, Mahomes completed less than half his passes. The Chiefs, you know, defensively, I thought in that game were inept in certain areas, certainly against Cook and the tight end and Kincaid. And the Bills played perfectly. Allen had as many incompletions as he had touchdowns in that game. They won by 7. Like, if I were the Bills, my thought would have been, hey, this is awesome, we won. This is great. But we've been down this road. We've beaten this team before, and then we know what it looks like in January. And so I was a little surprised after they restructured Tyron Johnson's contract yesterday that Brandon Bean, maybe, you know, you make a swing there for a receiver. I thought they'd be in the Shaheed market, and maybe they were, and they just got outbid. Fine. I was surprised they didn't add a receiver. I thought that that would be a move they'd make. Kansas City, look, it was reported out there by Connor Hughes that the Chiefs were trying to get Hall. They offered a fourth. The Jets wanted a third. You know, do you maybe meet in the middle? Maybe you give them a third and you get like a sixth back. I thought the Chiefs could have done that. I don't know that it massively moves the needle for them. Like, they're going to win or lose not so much based on their run game. I was surprised that some of the other teams not named the Jets didn't trade more guys. You know what? If you're the Dolphins, why not move a couple guys off that roster? Why not try to move a Minka Fitzpatrick or a Bradley Chubb? If you're the Browns, you know, they move Tryon Troenka. Why not move some other guys off that roster? You know, I thought some of these teams that are bad, the Saints, other than Shaheed, why not move four or five vets off that roster? It just, I was surprised at the bad teams sitting there holding on to these guys for reasons that I don't really get.
Well, Matt, we know that the New York Jets, they won for what they gave up. But then if there is a team that you look at, what are your thoughts on what Seattle did? We know they have a solid defense up front. Sam Darnold looks okay for now. Ask me in January what he looks like. And now you have another threat on the opposite side of Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. But what are your thoughts on the Seahawks in whole?
I loved it. I thought Schneider nailed it. Great pick. Look, they had extra capital coming into this, right? Because they traded Metcalf for a second. They traded Geno Smith for a third before the season. So Seattle had all this room. You know, Darnold's not making crazy money by quarterback standards. It's three for 100 in the NFL today. It's, you know, a pretty meager contract for a top-flight quarterback. They, I think, looked at the team and went, we're really good. And this is a wide-open job. I cannot remember a year in the NFL where it's four wide open. So I love what they did. Smith Njigba has almost 1,000 yards receiving. He's leading the league. Nobody else on that team has 300. Well, now you add Shaheed. Shaheed not only has 499 yards with the Saints, who have no quarterback. He's a young guy who I would expect them to try to get under team control moving forward with an extension. And he fits what they do. You know, Smith Njigba, not that he can't go deep, but he's really good in that intermediate. Whereas Shaheed's got deep ball, 4-4 speed all day long. Hey, man, run a 9 route and let it rip. I think it's a really nice fit. Of all the teams that made additions today, I think that was the best move when you factor in player, fit, need, cost.
Matt, we talked about a lot of teams that are trying to compete, think they're competing, maybe trying to do something into the future. We just learned a couple of hours ago that the Arizona Cardinals are going to stick with Jacoby Brissett as quarterback. He's saying Kyler Murray is not all the way healthy. I don't know if they would want him back out there either way, the way that the offense has been moving. What do you think ultimately happens with Kyler Murray, given the fact that he's under contract, this isn't the guys, or these aren't the guys who selected him? What do you think happens here?
I think at the end of the year, the Cardinals have a really obvious decision to make. And I thought it might be going this way anyway, but now it's really going this way. You're either keeping Jonathan Gannon as your coach, or you're keeping Kyler Murray. But you're not keeping them both. Because, let's be real, anyone who spent 5 minutes around the NFL team or in a locker room knows quarterback's the alpha. That he is the guy. Whether his personality's mild-mannered or really up in your face, he's the guy. And everybody looks at that guy. It's like when Tua went up and threw everybody under the bus in that post-game presser a few weeks ago. It's over. It's over. That guy's never getting that locker room back, ever. He's done. Like, I could probably, he's done. And with Murray, you got everybody in that room looking around going, they don't believe in this guy. So why the heck should I? I don't believe in him either. Like, now you're in a spot where I think if you're Murray, you're going to have to go somewhere else. And where that is, who knows? I mean, that's an off-season question. But I think if you're the Cardinals, by benching him, you're telling everybody, look, we're done here. I mean, you're benching him. Jacoby Brissett has played very, very well. But let's be real. Jacoby Brissett is a career backup. He's an older player. This is not a guy, you know, who's a fourth-round pick this year, who just lit the world on fire, and they're like, well, we got a plan. That's not what's happening. So by benching Kyler Murray, you were telling everybody in that room you have no faith in this guy, that he is not the best option over a 30-something-year-old backup. I think at the end of this year, it's probably time to start shopping Mr. Murray.
And Matt, final question for you. We've talked about a lot of teams that made some moves. It wasn't specifically today, but the Eagles, we know they're the reigning champs. They've made quite a few moves to try to help out their defense with bringing in Phillips, and they're going to get Graham back and got cornerbacks now. What are your thoughts on the Philadelphia Eagles? We know how open things are. We just discussed it.
Yep. I think, look, Howie Roseman is as aggressive as they come. And, you know, he's got a couple of rings on his fingers for a reason. He's an excellent general manager. I don't know that any of those moves in a vacuum are horrifying if you're an opponent. I think Jalen Phillips can be. But, look, let's be honest. I mean, he's had two massive injuries the last 2 years. He has not played very much. The Achilles, the ACL. You know, you just wonder how much he's got in the tank. This year, he's been okay. The explosiveness hasn't quite been there, which is to be expected coming off of those types of injuries. Jair Alexander, I could care less. He never plays. Michael Carter II, he's a guy who had some really nice years in New York as a slot corner. They're going to expect him to be if he, in a weird way, might be the key there, because if he can be good inside for them, that allows them to move DeJean outside. And so now all of a sudden you've upgraded a couple different areas, both middle of the field and perimeter. I don't think any of the moves hurt. They're low risk, but I don't know that they're massive impact move where you're going to look back and go, man, that's you got them over the hump. They could help. I don't know that they're huge.
We'll see what happens, man. Now we're a little bit more than halfway through the season. The trade deadline is come and gone, and we're going to see what teams sink or swim. I think we have a better idea now. But as you said, things are very open this season. It doesn't appear to be one dominant team. Hey, Matt, tell everybody where they can follow you and all of your work with your show, with SI, with the Chiefs. Fill us in, man.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Twitter, at Matt Verram, where I'm on way too much. I'm on Patreon with the Matt Verram Show, which covers the league. I'm over at SI.com, of course, for all my written work. Friday column, Friday preview column, Sunday column, breaking down the whole league and what to look forward to, source information, stuff like that. So you can find me all over the place, for better or worse.
Hey, Matt, we appreciate the time and the expertise. We'll catch you soon, okay?
Hey, thanks a lot, Jared. Take care.
No doubt about it. Thank you to Matt Verderam, covers all things NFL for SI Now. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more. We'll actually hear from the Arizona Cardinals and their head coach, Jonathan Gannon, as to why Jacoby Brissett is getting another start. We saw what the Cardinals did in beating up on the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. And Kyler Murray, is he ultimately going to get the boot? We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it is time for a news flash. Here he is, Rich Ackerman.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you oh so much to Matthew Verderam for joining us in the last break to take a look at the NFL trade deadline. Talk about the Jets moving off from Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. Looking at the Colts giving up the two first rounders for Sauce, what the Dallas Cowboys are doing, adding Logan Wilson, and then also Quinnen Williams, Rashid Shaheed, now a member of the Seahawks. So if you missed that conversation, just go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you again to Matt Verderam for joining us in the last break. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. That's not the only big football story going on today. The NFL trade deadline was today, but then on the college side of things, in about 15 minutes, we're going to get the first edition, the first release of the college football playoff ranking. So we're going to get the projections on who's in and who could be out. And this is the very first week. I think we know some of the teams that will definitely be there. Indiana, Ohio State. You know, we're going to have teams and players complaining and fan bases complaining. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. And then also, we're going to have a great chat with Jerry Palm. We'll get his thoughts in about 30 or 40 minutes about what he thinks about the college football playoff and ultimately, what does he think and who needs to be projected where. We'll have that conversation with expert Jerry Palm. He'll be here with us next hour. This is a good time and a good opportunity to tell you about the Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. The Defensive Player of the Week, Cardinals edge rusher Walter Nolan III. He made his NFL debut last night, Monday Night Football, when those Cardinals went out there and beat the Cowboys 27-17, and he had one hell of a game. He had a sack, two tackles for loss, and a pass deflection. He was the first-round pick for the Arizona Cardinals, missed all of training camp, was on the PUP list, and so now he showed up and he had himself a hell of a game. He was selected 16th overall by the Cardinals earlier this year. Speaking of the Cardinals, we spoke with Matt Verderam about this. It looks like Jacoby Brissett is going to get another opportunity to start. A matter of fact, it doesn't look like he's going to get another opportunity to start. He will. Jonathan Gannon, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, after the victory last night, where Jacoby Brissett, God bless him, he did not turn the football over. He threw two touchdowns. He helped Marvin Harrison Jr. actually look like a good wide receiver. 96 yards receiving, a touchdown, and seven receptions. Today, Jonathan Gannon says Jacoby will continue to start.
As it relates to the quarterback in Seattle, Jacoby will start. And Kyler will keep working on his health bucket. I do like what the offense is doing right now. We've operated well, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, he's working on his health bucket. He's trying to check that bucket. Oh, come on now. Kyler Murray was standing around looking miserable yesterday. It's like he saw the writing on the wall. And as we just discussed with Matt Verderam, listen, man, ain't nobody sticking around with Jacoby Brissett for the entire season. He's not the quarterback of the future. God bless him. So far on the season, even though they have a record of 1-2 with him as a starter, he's thrown six touchdown passes to only one interception. And so that's a good thing here for Mr. Jacoby Brissett. Now, what does this mean for Kyler Murray? Monty Austin-Fort did not draft this guy. Okay, we got the head coach in Jonathan Gannon. He is not his dude. Cliff Kingsbury wanted Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury is no longer there. And so Jacoby Brissett is basically going to be a babysitter until they figure out when and how they want to move along, unless Kyler Murray says that he wants to go ahead and push the eject button. Now, here's the problem and here's the issue. Kyler Murray is making $46 million a season. Okay, I never thought that he would be some franchise-altering quarterback. He's maddening to watch. I mean, we heard the comments from Marvin Harrison Sr. yesterday. I mean, he didn't use Kyler Murray by name, but when you talk about the offense and what it looks like, well, Kyler Murray is running around like it's a video game. He's running backwards. He's running side to side. He's limited as to what he can do out there on a football field physically. And he sees a receiver open, and he goes, I can do better with my legs. And he's running into trouble a whole hell of a lot. Someone who knows a lot about the quarterback position is Drew Brees. He was on ESPN, and he talked about what he would do with this Kyler Murray situation.
Is Kyler Murray your franchise quarterback? I mean, has he ever been your franchise quarterback? I mean, everything that I've ever heard coming out of Carolina is you've got mixed emotions all over the place, from the fan base to the locker room to so many. And I know that you paid him. And I know that you've basically put him in that position and try to set him up for success. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's never been solidified there. That's always been an up in the air. And it's really, you've never had a moment where somebody stepped in and actually given the team some hope. And now you have that with Jacoby Brissett, a veteran guy who has a ton of maturity. I mean, you just see him coming into his own. You see the way that the players respond to him. You could feel it last night as you're watching the game.
Yeah, well, we know Jacoby Brissett is just going to throw the ball. That's it. There's no guesswork. There's no running around like a chicken with no head. There's no scramble. There's no running around. We just know Jacoby Brissett is going to throw the ball. That's it. Okay, Kyler Murray, just flip a coin as to what he's going to do anytime that ball is snapped. And so I've been saying this for years. The Arizona Cardinals are going nowhere. They're not going anywhere with Kyler Murray as their starting quarterback. But they have to figure out how to unload him. And then if you do unload him, here's the thing. Kyler Murray, he's a name. He has a name attached, okay? Jacoby Brissett, how are you selling tickets with him? You're not. You're not. I mean, you'd have to win a whole lot of games. But this is where the Cardinals have to make a tough decision. Do we want to start from fresh? Do we want to bring on a quarterback to develop behind Jacoby Brissett? Maybe the Cardinals can actually win if they don't have to worry about Kyler Murray playing video games, running backwards, being committed to his playbook. Maybe they can get some picks for him. I mean, a sucker is born every day. Maybe Kyler Murray will be the quarterback for the Raiders. Why would they do that? I don't know. Maybe he'll be the quarterback for the Saints. Why would they do that? I have no idea. Botcher, there's always one sucker born every day.
Yep. I just think the Saints might do it. I don't know. You have to find a team that doesn't have that much draft capital. Their cap space is kind of in hell, and they're delusional. I think the Saints are number one.
Yeah, I don't even know if they'd be able to bring him on with that contract. I don't know if... You see, it'd be dumb to bring on Kyler Murray. Like, it'd make no sense. So what are you trading for him?
Good question. Maybe a second and a couple late-round picks?
Oof. Not even, man. Not even. Not even. What has he done? In his career, what has he done?
Not much. Been hurt?
Nothing.
Ran around? Had that cool Hail Mary once?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Hopkins. Yeah, nothing. Besides that, nothing. He was a Pro Bowler. He's been a two-time Pro Bowler a couple years ago. I can't believe this. Wow. I remember when he was the Gatorade High School Player of the Year. I was actually at that award show. He is going to be 29 years old next year. To think that he's going to get better as he ages is just it's an exercise in futility. It's just not good. He just may have to rot inside that organization. They weren't going to win with him. The minute that Cliff Kingsbury moved on, there was just basically no hope for him. It stinks. Feel bad for the Cardinals fans. So I feel bad for a lot of fan bases. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're waiting on the college football playoff first edition. Okay, who's going to be placed where by the committee? We'll talk about it on the other side. The JR Sport Brief Show on Infinity Sports Network.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.